All right. Good morning, listeners, and welcome to this week's News from the Drug War Front. My name is Jeff, and my co-presenter is Marion on this very sad day, Marion.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I would tell you to jump out of bed and go and have a look at the sunshine because it's out there, but to tell the truth, we're a bit flat today. And probably a lot of people know why. Our good friend Jude Byrne passed away on Friday night. She passed away comfortably, finally. And we're glad that she was comfortable when she went, but it took a bloody long time to get there, Jeffrey, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm just relieved that she's no longer suffering, Marion.
But well, Jeffrey, you were watching it, and that's a hard thing to do, is to watch someone in pain when there's very little you can do about it.
You feel helpless, to be honest, Marion. It's
absolutely, darling. And we'll just send a big warm shout out to Autumn, Emmy Miles, her children, and their families, and also to Joe and Guy.
Yes.
Joe is Jude's sister, and Guy is her much loved younger brother.
Indeed.
And so, yeah, a big shout out and a lot of love out to you guys, because Jeffrey and I have just been discussing how flat we feel, but we might just send. How about we do some music first?
Yeah, look.
While we settle into the chair.
This is one that Jude and I often played. It's a band called Morcheeba. Mm-hmm. The album's Big Calm, but the song is The Sea, and it's a really peaceful song. So this is Morcheeba. All right, that was Morcheeba with The Sea. It's about 23 minutes to 11 o'clock.
Yep.
You're listening to News from the Drug War Front on Canberra's Community Radio 2XX 98.3 FM with Jeff and Marion in the Studio One. And for those who are regular listeners, today is essentially about a dedication to the life of Jude Byrne, who sadly passed away last Friday, one of the giants of harm reduction, both here in Canberra, internationally.
And internationally, yeah. And we've just decided that today we're going to dedicate the show to Jude. We'll do our normal stuff, our introductions, and do some music that we know Jude loved and some music that she probably loved, but we love and think she would have said that anyway, like Janis Joplin, Get It While You Can. And we'll do some memories of Jude, and it'd be good if you could cruise along with us, but if we bore you, then fine. We'll see you later, darlings. And we'll talk to you next week about stuff. But this is about Jude, and we've got lots of really good memories that we'd like to share with you and some music that we'd really like to play for you, for her, and for us.
Yeah, well said, Mary.
Yeah?
Well said. Okay, listeners, welcome to today's edition of News from the Drug War Front, which, of course, is brought to you by KARMA, the Canberra Alliance for Harm Minimisation and Advocacy. KARMA is a peer-based, community-controlled drug user organisation, and the development of the Needle and Syringe Program, expansion of opioid maintenance treatment, and the funding of drug user organisations began as a part of the highly successful public health response to the HIV/AIDS epidemic in Australia in the 1980s, which also, by the way, Marion, was the start of access of funds for drug user organisations.
So, that's right, yeah.
At least something positive came out of that epidemic. By involving affected communities, Australia was able to keep HIV infection rates low by global standards. Of course, there are other viruses that affect injecting drug users, and hepatitis C, thankfully, now has new treatments known as direct-acting antivirals, or DAAs, that can cure people with hepatitis C, and that is an incredible breakthrough.
Can we just remind people to go and get access to the DAAs, the direct-acting antiretrovirals? Because I understand that another friend died on Friday in the morning, not Jude, and a middle-aged man now. But he had liver disease, and I don't know if it was chronic hepatitis C. I wouldn't be surprised, and that speaks to me. It says to me that there are people not accessing those treatments.
Absolutely.
What we know about the DAAs, or the direct-acting antiretrovirals, is that they don't have side effects. These days it's like a 12-week course. You take one tablet a day.
One pill a day, yeah.
for 12 weeks, and by the time you've finished, your liver is in a condition whereby you could donate it to somebody if you want to. That's how clean your liver will be. That's how good it will be. And given that the majority of people, or the people with chronic hepatitis C, will die cancer of the liver, good proportion of them will anyway, if they don't get treated, then you need to know that the DAAs are there. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm just want to chuck that in because somebody else died of liver disease.
Sorry to hear that, Mary. Yeah. Sadly, as the policies of prohibition remain largely unchanged, human rights abuses and the stigmatising and discrimination of people who use drugs continue to take place. We'd like to acknowledge the efforts of peers and activists who have contributed to the fight against prohibition and reaffirm our commitment to continue fighting against the harms caused by prohibition in all of its manifestations. Mm. So the show aims to inform and educate listeners about what we see as the failure of prohibition or the war on people who use drugs. And, of course, we promote the services offered by Karma and other organisations in the ACT.
Yeah. The Canberra Alliance for Harm Minimisation and Advocacy is Canberra's only peer-based drug user group. Karma provides a wide range of services such as client advocacy, peer treatment support, education information, creative arts, mentoring and referrals. The Karma office is located in the Church's Centre, Shop 17, Level 1, 54 Benjamin Way in Belconnen. Its office hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday. The phone number is 6253 3643. It's 6253 3643. Karma continues to run its Australian first opioid overdose recognition response workshops with naloxone, and also does brief interventions with individual clients. Karma can help people with a wide range of issues, including opioid maintenance treatment programs, getting access to methadone, buprenorphine or Buvidal and Sublocade, the availability of detox and rehab services in the ACT, the negative impact of stigma and discrimination, difficulties with getting access to proper pain relief, which unfortunately Jude had problems with.
It's all too big a problem, to be honest, Marin.
Pain relief is just a shocker, particularly for people who use drugs, and people who are already on the methadone program.
Or have a drug use in past, even. Don't even
have
to be current drug
use. History of drug use, and doctors and nurses are so frightened to prescribe pain relief. But if the doctors and nurses made sure that our peers got access to proper pain relief, they wouldn't have to live in fear. The doctors wouldn't have to live in fear of overprescribing or the patient overdosing, because they wouldn't have to supplement their so-called pain relief with extra drugs.
Yeah. Because that's the flip side of the coin, Marin, is people that know they're likely to have to need something to supplement or live in fear of not being adequately having their pain dealt with. Creates a lot of fear.
It does create a lot of fear. But I tell you what you can do, Jeffrey. You can actually speak to your doctor, your GP. You can get a medical management form done with your GP, so that when you are in chronic pain or when you are dying, you can have your personal pain management, or your brain, if you like, managed with the approval of your doctor, with something you've worked out in advance with your doctor, and how you will have your body or your illness managed, so that if you're dying from a chronic disease that will kill you, such as cancer, or a mental disease such as dementia of some sort or another, you can have that work out in advance, so that somebody knows what you want to have happen before you're in a position where you just can't do anything about it and can't advocate on your own behalf.
Yeah, it's funny.
Because that's a difficulty, isn't it? Advocating for yourself feels like you're being demanding.
Yes, yeah.
And when in fact what you need is to be pain-free, so that you can comfortably say goodbye to people.
Absolutely. I think that's a very important point. My friend from Belgium, Tony, said, you know, how's euthanasia going? And I just had to say, well, in the ACT, it doesn't. It's not available. You know, of course, people know in reality that depending on who the doctor is or the clinician in the hospital.
And what kind of drugs you have at your bedside, yeah?
You can,
you can actually organise to go out comfortably.
But it's not set in law, so it's all this grey area, and you can't be certain that you are going to.
And it's not in your own control, Geoffrey. No. That's the other thing. It's in control of the doctor who's prescribing for you.
That's right.
But, you know, Tasmania is looking to have euthanasia laws reinstituted. Northern Territory and Victoria both
Victoria's
have laws already but cannot implement them because the Commonwealth government, the Australian government, won't let them.
Well, at least the states have the right to implement their own laws. It's the territories like us.
They have them there on the statute book, so they're ready to go as soon as the federal Australian government gets stops pushing.
Look, if personal freedom means anything, it should have been the right to dictate the terms of your own departure from this world.
Absolutely.
I just can't see a cogent argument against it. Anyway, the contents of this broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views and or policies of the Canberra Alliance for Harm Minimisation and Advocacy. Karma does not condone, but nor does it condemn drug use and does not promote illegal activity. Karma recognises that drug use happens, and as such, Karma focuses on harm reduction messages, drug treatment support services, advocacy and community development. Karma seeks to reduce the harms associated with drug use as well as the harms associated with the criminalisation of drug use through the provision of empowering programs that concentrate on community development, person-centred holistic health care and equity of health service delivery for all people. And, yes, in the bigger picture, I mean, I've always thought I'd live to see the end of prohibition, Marion. We've joked about this many times.
Well, I've said to Jude, they were going to bring in the Marion Watson Memorial Heroin Program and Jude was going to be customer number one. Right, she was number one on the list, but so I was meant to be dying first and then Jude, but it didn't work out that way, and we didn't get to get her heroin program, and that I just think that's wrong. I just think it should be available, Geoffrey, and we've been talking about this for such a long time. Yep. Availability of the drugs that we use, rather than the drugs they want to give us or prepared to provide for us. It's just not right.
Yeah. No, it's not a construct based on scientific evidence or what's effective.
All the time we're talking about, what are we talking about when we're dealing with COVID-19? We're talking about scientific evidence. Mm. You know, well, the evidence all points towards the availability of drugs legally being an indicator for reduction of criminal activity, reduction in sociological and physiological and environmental harms that drug users or injectors are likely to face. It's just, you know, the way that we operate in the world is so controlled by these laws that we don't have any agency, you know. We don't have our own capacity to control our lives, to go on holidays, Geoffrey. Remember I said Jude was...
To travel.
One of the first people, when she became the coordinator of ACTIV, she got together a holiday for women IDUs and their kids, took them down the coast for a few days. Well, who does that, you know? Nobody does that anymore. But she was remarkable like that. She took and took her kids down the coast too and just had a holiday just for a few days on the beach, because that doesn't happen.
Mm.
Nobody thinks of families of IDUs like that.
No.
Kids don't have that leisure of having a holiday at all.
I must admit, over the later years, the number of women and the kids who are now adults who came up and saw Jude in the street just to thank her and how significant those moments had been at the time that those holidays were organised.
You know, I have a close friend who Jude helped to escape with her child, and found her somewhere to live and hide with her eldest child. And
was that escaping domestic violence?
Yes, domestic violence. And, I mean, and that happened on a couple of more than one occasion, unfortunately, but is also very much a feature of IDUs in partnership, domestic violence. And it's not just physical violence, it's economic and it's sociological violence as well.
Yeah.
So people are controlled by their partners, women are controlled by their partners. I might add International Women's Day yesterday, National Women Living with HIV Day today.
Yes.
And we need to keep that well and truly in mind. 52 women died last year, Geoffrey, as a result
of
domestic
violence. Partners. Yeah.
Pardon?
At the hands of their so-called
of their partners.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think there was a question on one of the Facebook pages saying, is that what we have to look forward to now, that horrible number, one a week at least?
Something has to be done, Marion. It's just not... You can't just be business as usual. And, look at the state of the parliament
as well.
And many
of the women living with partners and who are using as well live with this massive guilt, thinking that they deserve that, They deserve to be beaten because either they're using drugs or they're bad mothers because they use drugs or, the many and varied reasons for why they deserve that violence or that mistreatment.
Yeah.
And it's just, we know that's not true.
It's just wrong.
It is just wrong.
All right, I'll play the Janis song that you've picked, Marion.
That's right, because Jude would say this, even if she didn't like this, she loved Janis anyway. We can always say that because we all love Janis.
Yeah, what a great voice.
Yep.
Okay, get it while you can, Janis Joplin. All right, that was the magnificent Janis Joplin and Get It While You Can. It's 5 minutes to 11. You're listening to News from the Drug War Front, brought to you by Karma, with Geoff and Marion in the 2XX studio, People Powered Radio.
On a memorial to Jude Byrne Day.
Indeed.
Because we'd like to thank Jude for everything that she's done over the years. 1988, Geoffrey, I think. 1987, I think. Active employed Jude first. That would be about right. I'm very sorry to all the Burnses that are out there listening to me whether I got the date wrong. But I remember Jude coming to work for Active League first because she was employed while I was overseas. And she came to work for Active League. She set up Active League and became its first executive officer, general manager, whatever you like, project manager, whatever you like to call her position. It was the boss of Active League in the beginning, and it was established and it was run from the house behind the Ainslie Shops, Geoff.
Okay.
So we could run women and kids projects, and we had a nurse there every Tuesday morning, I think, so the kids could all have their vaccinations done and they could get the books filled in and the mums could get their vaccination money once they got their vaccinations complete.
Wow, I've never heard of that one. Eh?
Yeah, they're just amazing. The projects that Jude ran that were just made, and we had great nurses. She made sure that we had best nurses that were available there. And if the nurse didn't happen to be a particularly good one for IDUs, then Jude will get another one.
Fantastic.
Get a different one and kind of ease that person that was not so suitable out and look for somebody more suitable that could get on well with IDUs and was not judgmental about women IDUs because they faced an awful lot. I mean, we're talking 40
early days,
years ago,
yeah.
Jude.
Yeah. If you think
38
things
years
are
ago,
hard now, think about it back then.
Imagine what it was like then.
Yeah.
And Jude was using a lot of her own life experience, because that's what peers do, use their own life experience to implement programs and projects or identify places that improvement needs to be made. And that was what she did, and she was bloody good at it, Geoffrey.
Yeah.
She was a champ. As long as never, Geoffrey, we used to say, when Jude's facing you, feel like you're in the sunshine.
Yep.
And then she turns away and you feel like the clouds have just come over suddenly.
What
happened? It got cold. Well, that was what she was like. You had to get it on the days when she was going for it and focused on the programs and projects because she was good at it.
Yeah. And she cut to the chase, didn't she?
Yep.
She didn't beat around the bush. She knew what needed to be done.
We had at the beginning of the HIV and AIDS stuff, we had a national committee called National HIV and AIDS Committee or something. Anyway, IVDUs, we were called in those days, intravenous drug users, had representation on that through, I'm not sure if it was through a FAO or whether it was just an independent representation, but the scientists that actually had control of that committee came on and said, okay, let's do, to get users to clean their needles up until we can make needle and syringes available, let's do this 3x3x3 thing. So three times flush with water, three times flush with bleach, and three times flush with water again. And Jude was the only person that ever said, and this was like 3 years later, Jude said, hey, has anybody actually tested that to know whether it works or not? Are we actually giving ourselves HIV? Is this evidence-based? And it wasn't evidence-based,
Jeffrey. Good question,
yeah. Nobody had tested it. This was a scientist stood up and said, oh, it sounds like a good idea. Let's do that 3x3x3.
I remember that campaign.
And we swallowed that hook, line and sinker for, well, years, until Jude said, has anybody tested it? And somebody said, oh, that sounds like a project. Let's get funded to research that.
Wow, that's a great anecdote.
Yeah, that was the sort of thing she did, though, Donna. She picked up on things that nobody had thought about that were basic, fundamental. Remember the hand washing just recently campaign?
Yeah.
That's so basic and fundamental. You think we should have done that years ago. Mm. Why didn't we do that years ago? Well, we didn't.
Yeah.
And now what's COVID all about? Hand washing.
Yep.
Well, duh.
Hygiene.
Yeah.
Standard.
It's fundamental sanitation.
Yeah.
Fundamental hand washing. It's so basic as to be ridiculous.
Yeah. No, she really had a capacity to get to the...
Just to get to the nub of stuff, Pick it out and say, oh, that's one. Here's a go.
Yep. I'm reminded we've got 30 seconds till the news. Maz, so...
Oh, you shut me up just in time. Well done,
But we will continue with more stories after the news in this special show, which is dedicated to celebrating the life of...
Our girl Jude Byrne.
Yeah, our girl Jude, who has done so much for the community and deserves to be recognised.
Indeed she does.
We shall go to the Community Radio National News.
Okay, fine.